Welcome back to Sports Day. John Longmire is the coach of the Sydney Swan Scoop. He's had a very, very exciting year this year.
Haven't spoken horse in a while.
Ultimately, it ended up with disappointment, but like everybody, you get over your disappointments and you move forward with a really good, strong young group.
You said he had a lot on the weekend. What was going on?
I think he was preparing for your interview.
Oh, come on.
John Longmire joins us, I guess, from Sydney. Welcome, John.
Hey, Jared, Sam.
How's the rain up there? Has it stopped this weekend?
Yes, it's been pretty wet at the end of last week, but all good today. We had a training session today and it was all fine. So all good yesterday and today, very good days.
So was today the first training session or have you been at it a week?
No, the younger fellas have been at it a week. So the older guys get involved next week, although there's been a few of them around, quite a few around for last week and this week. They were around still today, but they're not formally required until next Monday.
So tell me, John, when do you get over or don't you get over the obvious disappointment about the way you lost and went out? Given that it was such an exciting year, you've jumped ahead of the curve to some degree, and yet you went out fairly sharply with all those misses in the final term. When was it that you get over that and you start thinking, well, okay, that's beyond us, nothing we can do, but how exciting is the future?
Yeah, it usually takes a bit of time, Jared. I mean, there's the facts are that's really, most years, unless you win the premiership, there's some disappointment in the way you finish, and you set high standards for yourself and your football club, and so if you really, it takes a couple of weeks to get out of your system, and we were really disappointed with the way we lost. We felt like we had a bit more to give, but the reality was we didn't get it done, and that's what finals are all about, and that's what learning's about as well, and you need to make sure that you take time to process that in the off season, and but then also try and step back from it and look at the bigger picture and realise that whilst it was disappointing to lose that elimination final, there was some gains made this year that we're really pleased with, and that doesn't take away from the disappointment, but it does usually take a couple of weeks for that to sink through your system.
How's the injury list heading into pre-season, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Sam. Touch wood. It's always this time of the year, we've got a few less injuries than we've had, or a few less operations than we've had previously. So that's always a good sign that there's not too many recovering from major operations. And so I was talking to Tom Papley today. He's running around training for the first time in quite a while before Christmas. A number of others, but we know that can change. But at the moment, not too bad.
Can I ask you about Isaac Heaney? I read some reports over the weekend that he started contract negotiations. He's got next year left. I think he signed quite a long-term deal a few years ago. I'm just interested in your thoughts into his progression the last few years. Now, obviously, John, B&S aren't the be-all and end-all, but just having a brief look. So fourth in 2018 when he was starring, sixth the next year. He didn't really play last year, so you can't count it. Seventh this year. Is he the player right now that you expected him to be?
Oh, I think that if you knew what he was playing with most weeks, you'd say he's been outstanding. Okay. And I mean that he's had some really difficult injuries he's had to overcome, and he still gets out there and plays. And it's been remarkable, really, from even this year with his hand, and his ability to be able to play with injury has been as good as I've seen. And most often it's injury that no one knows about. And he just keeps on getting out there and playing every week. So, we believe he's been fantastic this year. He's kicked 36 goals. He kicked four in the final and really helped us get over the line. And he's a very important player for us. And, he has high expectations of himself, and his ability to get out on the park every week is of a really high level. So, he's a good player.
Are these the sort of injuries that he'll have to play with for the rest of his career, or you think he'll be able to get rid of them and play injury free for a while?
Oh, well, we're hoping that he gets through them and he gets able to play and be injury free. There's been a lot of contact injuries. Last year he had his ankle, which took, when you consider that was a significant ankle injury that really ruled him out for the entire season. And he had a limited pre-season, and then he got going, and then we were just getting used to what his body could handle. And he was able to train really well this year at the back end of the year. And so that was really promising. He trained well today and looked fantastic. So, we're just hoping he gets a really good run at it.
Interesting discussion. Just further to it, if he was 100% fit for the whole season, would you see him still being primarily an inside forward 50 player, or is he potentially a 50-50 split like a Dustin Martin or maybe even along the Petraka lines of 60-40, 60-70-30?
Yeah, I think that he's probably getting up towards that, Jared, a bit more in the midfield now. It's particularly, I mean, he got through this season quite well. And as I said, the back end of the year is training really well and able to play games out really well. He's naturally really fit. Keeps himself in fantastic shape. So, you know, we'll be playing a bit more in the midfield this year. And so, you know, whilst it's hard to replace those 36 goals in your forward half, and he's a real threat in your forward half, we think he can still play in the midfield and push forward and, you know, it'd probably be that 70-30 type split. But, you know, once again, it's only the pre-season and we'll use him where we need him. But, you know, we'd like to play more in the midfield.
Game-based question. Today there was clarification, I believe, that Patrick Dangerfield's round one bump was absolutely illegal and he'll be guaranteed a suspension next time. And I think that was probably the right call at the time. Lockie Plowman the same, didn't have a problem with that. Still have some concerns over the David McKay Hunter Clark bump. And I'm wondering how you are going to coach this, where McKay essentially had his hands out looking for the ball, realised within a split second there was going to be body contact and brace for the contact. Clearly, if you're second of the ball and you bump head high, it sounds like you're going to be suspended. How do you coach that? How do you coach split second, second to the ball issues?
Well, I think you try as best you can, Jared, but the reality is you're not going to get it right. A player's not going to be able to get it right every time. Mm. And I think it's very difficult to ask a player to get those split second decisions right every time. It's something that we'll try and coach and try and teach. But in the end, it's very difficult to replicate that on a training track and have some clear guidelines for a player to make in those split second decisions. But we also support the fact that, you know, we don't want to have head high contact, but there's also the reality that in this game it will happen at times.
Yeah, I find it I think there's always going to be the case a bit like McKay's, where we understand the intent of the rule and Steve Hocking fought pretty hard and to get it up, but I think he was almost making the point rather than looking for the actual victory at the time. But I think there's still going to be bumps that will end up at the tribunal, and I think the tribunal will err on the accident side of things if it does look like you're legitimately going for the ball until that final second.
Well, it will happen, won't it?
Yep.
I mean, as much as we try and get it out of the game completely, I think it's going to be impossible to get out of the game. It's a contact sport, and there will be instances when it'll happen, and we just can't do much about that.
So Paddy McCartan's the other interesting one. Former number one draft pick, had shocking issues with concussion himself, and then, you know, he lost his concentration in an out-of-character whack, cost him 5 weeks. Do you see a future for him? I know it was suggested that you're going to put him on your list at some stage down the track, but is he still in the mix?
He's still in the mix, Jared, yeah, he is. I mean, he'll do some more training with us this year, and we'll look at him in the pre-season period, and mainly because, you know, to give some, you know, it's give him another opportunity to be able to show his wares. We're able to see him play this year in the in our VFL, even though it was a very difficult year for some of those lads. But we're able to see him play a little bit of footy this year, and we think he's got the flexibility to play at both ends, and. Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Yep.
And before that final decision's made.
Small matter of one Lance Franklin playing for you next year, John, who's on 995. I mean, we've lauded this guy for so long for all the right reasons. He's just been an unbelievable player. But how special is this moment going to be, whether it comes in round one or round five, to get to 1,000 and celebrate this career, the second half of which has been for your club?
Yeah, look, it's a special achievement. It's not something that, to be honest, Sam, I get too focused on. I mean,
you kicked a lot of goals yourself, so that's probably
not,
fair.
Not quite that many, but I don't really. You know, I understand the interest in it. It's and the reality will be that it will be a magnificent achievement. If when he gets there, so it's not to be. If he's in this day and age, it's a considerable achievement, and he's a player that's super talented and works really hard. He trained today, trained really well, still really enjoying his footy. So, you know, we'll wait and see when that moment comes, but I'm sure it'll be a special moment for both the footy club and the fans in general, and I'm talking probably all fans.
Has he got 2 years left on his deal? Everyone seemed to be reporting that he's out at the end of next year, but from memory it was a 9-year deal, wasn't it, Jared? He's only played 7 at the Swans.
Reasonably sure he's out next year.
Okay. Well, it must have been an 8-year deal then.
So, can you see him playing till he's 40 if his hunger's still there, John?
I'm not sure. I mean, let's get through next year. It's, you know, when you get to 35, I think before we start talking about playing as a 40-year-old, we'll see him play as a 35-year-old, and hopefully he goes well. And you know, he's certainly moving well at the moment. He's looking pretty sharp, but we know that, you know, he's got a fair bit to go, and we're just making sure that he manages himself in a really sharp way, and we keep him physically able to get on the paddock as much as he was able to do this year.
Jared, if Ronaldo's playing at 37, I reckon Buddy's got him covered.
Yeah, but Ronaldo was on the bench on the weekend, so it's a time for everybody.
Well, you're saying that Horse is going to bench him for a few weeks?
No.
I can't see that happening.
I don't think Horse will bench him early in the piece because he is not the problem that Ronaldo is over there in the UK.
Oh,
Angus Sheldrick, when did you first hear Angus, John?
Oh, a couple of weeks before the draft. I got involved, obviously, with our draft previews and had a look at Angus and realised that his one thing that stood out was that he's pretty tough and he's a huge competitor. And so that was the word coming back from our recruiting staff. And that's certainly what I saw in the vision.
And you got a couple of brothers now. Corey Warner.
Brother of Chad.
Brother of Chad, who's just about my favourite of the youngest players up there. If he's as good as his elder brother, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a different type to Chad. He'll probably play that wing at high half forward role, and he's an amazing athlete. His ability, his speed and power endurance combination is really of a really high level, and so we're looking forward to that. He gets up here, we know what Chad can do. He's a powerful competitor as well, and Corey's a little bit different. Got a really big tank as well, so. Yeah, you know, we're looking forward to getting those WA boys over here in January. They're not here at the moment. Yeah. That's the challenge for those guys. We thought it best for them to stay home so they didn't have to quarantine when they went back there at Christmas time. But we can't wait to say g'day to them all and see them in January.
And one final one. Would you like to have less pre-season and more games? Or do you like it the way it is?
I just think we need to have the right amount of games before the season starts, if that makes sense. I think there's been some talk about having less pre-season games. I'm not a fan of that. I think we have to prepare to get our players to be able to physically get through the first two or three weeks. So I'm in favour of three pre-season games,
yep.
You know, two and a half of those blokes that need the prep. So as long as we have enough games to get them going, I think that's the main thing.
John, it's always a pleasure having you on. If the weather's not great up in Sydney, it's 29 and sunny here tomorrow. Oh,
perfect one day showers and the next down here.
There's a couple of good days on the radar if you get bored of Sydney.
No, good up here. No problems up here at all, Sam. It's all fine.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you coming on.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See you.
John Longmire, the coach of the Sydney Swans.